Please open your Bibles, everyone, to the book of James. Continue to make our way through this very vital book on living the Christian life by faith. And will you turn to chapter 3 of the book of James as we read verses 1 through 12. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. For we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistake in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. If we put bits into the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so the tongue, it's a little member, boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives or a grapevine, figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Blessed Father, we come to this very, very important part of our worship this day for the exposition of the Word of God. Please give us hearts that are hungry for truth. Please, O God, give us hearts that have the intentionality given by the Holy Spirit to do what you call us to do, in order to demonstrate that we have indeed been saved by grace, that we love you and love to keep your commandments. In your name, amen. Well, everyone, we come to deal with a matter with which every one of us can identify rather easily in this particular chapter, in full control of our tongues. In fact, if you are, then James says you're perfect. Anybody here perfect? You wouldn't say so if you thought so. But the tongue. You know, think of the various statements that we hear that reflect that in our general conversation. That is the trouble that we have with our tongue. You know, people will say, I was born with a silver foot in my mouth. Or open mouth, insert foot. Or some people say, hoof and mouth disease. How many times have you heard someone say, I wanted to bite my tongue? Maybe you've seen the plaque somewhere, Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. We all talk too much, I'm afraid. And what we say gets us in more trouble than what we do. You ought to look at the book of Proverbs and find the frequency in that book of the mention of tongues and the use of the tongue. And that clearly a strong implication of that being a real problem. Well, that's only a sampling then of the universality of this problem that all of us have with the tongue. Well, James, in this section, is not concerned mostly with how to bridle the tongue. You have to check out the book of Psalms and Proverbs and the book of Ephesians and Colossians, because they have a lot of information on that matter. But James here has as his main concern to issue a warning. We are a nation, we are people who need a lot of words of warning. We take things like this and so many things of the Spirit too lightly. And James is issuing us a word of warning and caution regarding the seriousness of this matter and the judgment that's involved. His whole concern is to motivate us to take this whole matter very, very seriously. And he is challenging we Christians to show the difference that coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ, how it can make such an important difference in the controlling of our tongue. Because what's impossible with men is possible with God. There are three crucial points that come out of this discussion that I want to highlight this morning so that we don't miss them. The first of which is this. In a series of comparisons that we have read, James is clearly concerned to emphasize the immense power of the tongue. Power for evil and power for good. Now, speech is powerful. Do you know a word can lift thousands of pounds? Do you believe that? Everybody, please stand up. See? Sit down. What you and I say has a powerful influence over our lives and the lives of other people, for good or for bad. The words that we say can build up, they can heal, they can inspire, they can encourage, they can fill people with hope and the comfort of heart. And don't we also know that that out of that same mouth can come words that damage, words that discourage and tear down and ruin reputations, words that can give pain, words that can break your heart, words that can break your spirit just when you needed encouragement. So you see, this is a very, very serious matter. And isn't it appropriate that we come to this subject on such a day as this? Father's Day. Certainly a father is very concerned to bear a very important influence on his children. And most assuredly, it's through the tongue, that through his words, that he bears that influence. It's just exactly the way our Heavenly Father bears such a tremendous influence on his children, through his word. The words that come from his mouth. Now, the second point that we want to look at here is that James is saying that the tongue is a telltale agent. Telltale agent. The tongue is that member of our body that exposes us, gives us away. And the tongue is an accurate indicator of our spiritual condition. Much the same way as it is of our physical well-being. Remember the days, many of you won't, but some of you will remember when you went to the doctor as a young child years ago. One of the things that the doctor would say is, stick out your tongue. See? Because he'd look at that tongue, and maybe there were some kinds of signs of symptoms on that tongue. It might have been swollen, there might have been spots on that tongue, or some other indication coated in some way, swelled up in some way. But it was a tip-off that there was something wrong with the stomach. Well, the same goes for our spiritual state. Our tongue is a significant measure of our spiritual life. Oftentimes, our tongues are coated with things that shouldn't be there. Sometimes our tongues give evidence that we're swollen with pride. And sometimes there are things that should be on our tongue that is not there, and that's important. And then, thirdly, in this connection, James, everyone, is not saying that maturity is measured merely by your capability of muzzling your mouth. Maturity is not measured primarily by being able to discipline yourself to say the right thing at the right time, or perhaps to squelch words that might come out of your mouth, or to tell an off-colored joke, or blurt out something you know that would not be a blessing. It's more than that. He's not just saying that sheer suppression, the ability to muzzle your mouth, that that's the measure of maturity. Clearly not. It's kind of like that little girl was riding along with her father in the car before it had seatbelts, and the girl was standing up in front of the car, in front of the dashboard, and the father kept telling her to sit down, sit down, and she wouldn't sit down. Finally, he took her and sat her down, and she sat down there. And inside, she said, I'm sitting down outside, but inside, I'm still standing up. So you can muzzle your mouth in certain ways, but what's going on in your heart? And the fact is, James says that that kind of sheer self-control is impossible, because the tongue sooner or later is going to slip out of conscious control. Ever have that happen? Sure you did. You're going to speak in haste and tell what you're really thinking. And you'll speak maybe casually, a word spoken off guard, and that'll tell you what's on your mind, what's important to you, what you value, what your attitude really is. But all in all, what James is saying is if we are truly mature in Christ, if we are under the control of the Holy Spirit, if God has your heart, then your tongue will reveal that fact in your general conversation. So that, you see, when the tongue is bridled, when it's used for God, when your tongue is used for good and used for being a blessing, it's an indication of the measure of Christ's lordship over your whole life. So you see, the tongue really tells all. Tells others what you are really like inside. We continue to tell on ourselves. And so James is saying, listen to yourself talk. Do you ever listen to yourself talk? I remember one lady who had a real problem with being very harsh in her way of saying things. And we did something you don't want to do, but we did it. And we staked out a tape recorder. And on one occasion, we taped her and then played it back. And after she heard it, she said, "That's not me. That is not me." We played it again. "That is not me." Well, if somebody tells you or me that we talk a certain way, what do we say? "Not me." Let's look at the pictures that James uses here to portray the tongue. He uses images like a bit, a rudder, a fire, a poisonous animal, a fountain, a fig tree. Let's see how he uses these to impress us with respect to the importance of this little member, the tongue. In verses 1 through 4, he talks about the bit and the rudder. Now, what he is seeking to do here is to help us to grasp the fact that the tongue has power to direct. It has power to direct. And that's true at least on two levels. In other words, in terms of how it affects the lives of other people. He's referring specifically here to the position of teachers. Now, it seems in this congregation, most of the people wanted that prestigious position of being a teacher. Well, James is saying, be very cautious because of the tremendous responsibility and the accountability that goes with that position. He's saying here that God is not going to go over the rest of the flock the way he's going to use a fine-tooth comb to look at the lives of those who are in a teaching position, because you shape and you direct lives. And that means that you're going to have stricter judgment. You preach sermons, you teach classes, and so on like that. You're going to come under stricter judgment. Cut it straight. And then, equally as important, it's not only the teaching of formal lessons, but just how we talk to one another. You know, after you've taught the lesson, or while you're teaching the lesson, someone's misbehaving, and you blurt out something, and you've set the example. and you've contradicted your teaching. And that indicates to the kids in the class, oh, it really doesn't matter if you apply all of this. And that's a big problem that we face today. It does matter. Much damage can be done by the way we talk. And we're all teachers unawares. You do your most teaching when you think no one's looking or no one's listening. In verse 2, James includes all of us in this matter, and he says, we all stumble. We all offend in many ways, but the sins of the tongue are on the top of the list. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12? That every idle word, you think about that? Every careless word that's come from your mouth and my mouth is going to be played back. We're going to be judged by it. All Christians are going to be judged by the things that we've said, and especially how it's affected other people, whether misdirected their lives or so on. And then in the second way that the tongue has the power to direct is in our personal lives. In verse 2, he is telling us a person who is able to discipline his tongue shows that he is a person able to control his whole body. That is, his urges and instincts and his passions and animal appetites and so on. And he drives that home by giving us two illustrations. First, there's the illustration he gives with respect to the horse and the bit in the horse's mouth. And the other has to do with a ship and the rudder that steers that ship. He talks about the horse. And he says, one little thing, that bit in that horse's mouth, is the means of controlling and directing the immense power of a horse. Have you ever been to a horse pulling contest and seen the power of horses to pull great weight? They got tremendous power. A little bit directs them. And that's the way we ought to view our tongue. One comparatively tiny factor is the means of controlling and directing our whole body. See, with our tongue, we say either yes or we say no to some inner urge, some strong passion. With our tongue, we can say, oh, so what? Who cares? Everybody else is doing it, and our whole body follows. Or we say, no. No, that won't please God. I'm not going to do it. The little tongue. The ship. Now, here the rudder is also a small thing, and it steers great ships, ocean liners, huge ocean liners, guided by that little rudder in terms of the direction it takes. But now, you see, the illustration is not so much in terms of the inborn forces which can be directed and controlled by the tongue, but now he's referring to outside factors that are determined to blow us off course in our Christian walk, in our Christian running of the race that's set before us. You see, he's talking here now about the fierce winds of difficulties. He's talking here about the trials and the temptations that come from without and have a wind-blowing effect on our lives to try to direct us away from God's will. And now he's talking about the victorious kind of life that you can have in the storms and blasts of life if you're directed by a tongue that, well, he says, tongue can boast great things. In the trials and troubles of life, the tongue can say, oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you for your faithfulness. You've always been my guide. You've always been there when I've needed you. And right now, I'm in this storm. And I praise you for your faithfulness. I cried out, and he heard me. And he was there for me and delivered me and directed me. Look in the Word of God and see how you can use your tongue and take heart when you're about to take a wrong turn. So to see, the tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth, controlling unruly passions and animal instincts and saying no to feelings and say yes to the will of God. The tongue is like a rudder in a ship, holding the ship in course throughout a storm as we speak to ourselves the truth of God. The tongue shows that when the heart is rooted and grounded in the Word of God, You'll experience victorious living in your life. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Again, when Jesus Christ is Lord of your heart, he's going to be Lord of your mouth, Lord of your lips, and you'll know victorious living in times of testing. Think about this when you're up against it next time. Use your tongue to praise God. Say it to yourself. God's working all things together for good. In this, and I praise you, Lord, I'm not the subject of whims and chance and light. Thank you for being a sovereign God. Thank you that I can count it all joy, and that you're in charge of my life and you're directing this, and that no temptation has come my way but such as is common to man. And you're a faithful God, and you won't allow me to be tempted above that which you are able, or I am able. You'll help me to endure through this and grow. I'm going to do well for God in this. You start talking like that to yourself. That's important, how you talk to yourself. I'll trust the Lord in this situation. I'll grow. I'll have victory. Trust in the Lord and so on. Not your own feelings. And I'm not going to complain and murmur and say life is the pits. See how the tongue indicates whether we are under the lordship of Christ and under the authority of his word. And as such, we direct people the right way, and we direct ourselves in paths of righteousness. The tongue has power to direct. And then secondly, in verses 5 through 8, he's telling us something else about this tongue, and that it has power to destroy. Tongue has power for evil. Your tongue. He says by illustration, it's like a fire. It's like an animal, a poisonous, venomous snake. Telling us the tongue has an actual power for evil in the life of a Christian. He's talking to Christians. Verse 5 and 6, he says it's a fire. It can devastate entire areas of life. Gossip can do malicious things. Now, there are four things he tells us here about the tongue. First of all, in verse 6, he's telling us something about its character. You see, he says it's an unrighteous world among our members. Do you see that? You see, the tongue represents in our bodies the world with its wickedness. You see, the attitude of the world with its tendency to evil, to say things that drag down, has its representative right in our own bodies, in the tongue. World. That stands for all that's in opposition for God. It stands for everything that refuses to recognize and submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. The world speaks of that which is in rebellion to God, and that world system has its representative right in our own bodies. That's its nature. And then he tells of its influence. It says it can defile and stain the whole body. He is saying that the tongue really primes the pump of sin and all that we do with our bodies. It pumps it up. Again, I'm back to saying something very important, that how we talk to ourselves, the conversation that you have with yourself, is extremely important. The way we talk with ourselves, you see, all the sins that we commit have to do listening to what our tongues have to say. We say, oh, it's okay, no big deal, or isn't that nice, or I need that, I'll take it. I deserve it. Or now's not the time to do the will of God. Now's the time to do the will of Ken. The tongue introduces and justifies to every one of us, all of our members, the sinful urges and actions. And in that sense, you see, it defiles the whole body. Think of a bride all dressed up in her gorgeous a wedding gown. And there she is, ready to go down the aisle. And just as she's about to take her first step down the aisle, somebody comes in with muddy shoes and steps on the bottom of her dress, and there it is, a muddy streak. She looks at it, awful. She bursts into tears because the bride is supposed to be spotless on that occasion. But instead, there's this streak of mud. And your life and my life ought to be pure too. And we open our mouths, streak it, with mud. So many times we look so pure until we open our mouths. And then he says it's setting on fire the cycle of nature. That's a phrase signifying that the whole range of human life from beginning to end, the ups and downs of life, it's the wheel that begins at birth and rolls on in its course until we die. Now the idea here is that the evil of the tongue is present and prevails over every part of our lives as an active power for evil, whether you're talking about old age or young life. Think of the tongue and children in a sandbox. Or think of the tongue and an old person in a nursing home. And what can be said? At every stage of life, we're affected by it. So you can never say, oh, well, I've learned to control my tongue. That's something we need constantly to be working at, learning. And then he says it's set on fire by hell. Did you notice that James began his description of the tongue by saying it's anti-God? That is to say, this tongue is a representative of the world in our body. And now he says it's pro-Satan. Reminded of the day of Pentecost. Remember how on that occasion the fire came down from heaven and early Christians were empowered by the Spirit of God to speak praises to God and use the tongue for God. Well, contrary-wise, James is saying here, there's a fire that rises up from the pit of hell to stir up in us all that Satan desires. You see, the tongue can actually be an instrument of Satan in your life and in my life. This word for hell, Gehenna. You know what that is? That referred to the dumping ground for all the garbage that was collected in the city of Jerusalem. And there it was, out there, constantly burning, constantly smoldering, and there were flies all around there, and the awful stench. Where does all the filth that comes out of our mouth, where does that come from? Cosmic garbage dump. And you know, not only the foul language, not only the gossip, not only the hatred and the envy, but let me tell you, even the best of human wisdom can be kindled out of the fire of hell. And you're having problems in your life, and you talk to someone else and they give you the counsel of the ungodly and don't bring you into the scriptures and show you God's way and God's wisdom. That's not from heaven. No wonder James calls us strongly to control the tongue so that's controlled by heaven, or else it's going to be controlled by hell. You see how serious this is? And then he says, no man can tame wild animals. All of us enjoy going to see Barnum and Bailey, don't we? And I always like the wild lions. Actually, I'm glad they're not wild at that point, but don't bet on it. We are amazed at how their trainers are able to bring them under control with that whip and so on. And then he talks about how mankind is able to do things in nature. We are able to go into space and shoot those capsules. We are able to do those amazing things with those externalities in our life. But when it comes to the tongue, no human is able to control the tongue. Nobody can conquer it. It's an agent of hell. Listen. Consequently, then, if Christians are able to bring under their control the tongue, then he has a mark upon his life that can't be explained in terms of mere human ability. He has the mark of the supernatural, the sign of the indwelling Jesus Christ ruling in your heart. Probably James is thinking of things that were said of Jesus. No man ever spoke like this. I wonder if anybody would ever say that about you or me. You have words of eternal life. We wouldn't have those words, but we can share them. And they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And certainly we Christians, don't we feel the need of having something about us that the world can't explain? See, James says that the tongue hasn't been tamed by unaided power of humankind. Yes, yes. But what about the power of the new birth? What about the power of the Holy Spirit? making Jesus Lord in our lives. Come to verses 9 through 12. James is pointing there now the inconsistency in the use of the tongue in your life and my life. He says with the same tongue, we bless God or blast man. Now, what at first seems to be a further discussion with respect to the tongue's power for evil really turns the direction here in the discussion and points up to a new fact about we Christians, and that's the tongue's power to delight. You have the ability with your tongue to be a delight, to produce good. You see, the mere fact that he talks about the inconsistencies tell us that the Christian, see, because of the new birth by the Word of God, has received a new power. We who are believers have received a new source that can tame the tongue, that can bring it under control, that can be disciplined as an instrument for God's glory and as an enrichment for God's people and as a way of reaching out and telling people the good news. You see, we have to have certain qualities of Christian character before we can do anything that's inconsistent with it. You don't expect someone who doesn't have the ability to do a certain thing. You don't expect different from him. And James is making the point very clear about that inconsistency in the Christian. You have the power to be different. And so he says, brethren, this ought not so to be. And so he's talking directly to Christians who've been changed in their hearts by the power of the gospel. They've been given a new source from which we can draw power to use our tongues rightly. Oh, to be a blessing, to lift someone, to encourage, to heal. See, to do things that are compatible with the indwelling Jesus Christ. That's the challenge that we have, to never forget that when we were saved, it wasn't merely that sin was taken away, but we received a new power to live a different way, to talk a different way. The tongue is the mirror of the heart. And so we're back to where we began. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a direct connection between the tongue and the heart. And so the way the tongue speaks is an indication of what's filling your heart. Saying you must be very sure to be making conscious choices every day to be controlled by the Spirit who is now in you. Place yourself consciously under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Your tongue will always be an outward indicator of the measure in which Jesus Christ is Lord over your life. If my speech is pure and edifying and encouraging and uplifting, then it's because Jesus Christ has been given control of my entire body for his purpose. But if garbage, gossip, cursing, bitter envying, and criticism pour out, like you see described in verses 14 and 16 in chapter 3, then I'm demonstrating that I'm operating under the rule of the flesh instead of under the rule of the Spirit and being a delight. And so he says, brethren, this ought not to be. There's only one way to have your tongue be a delight. Make sure that you draw from one fountain, one source. Be like a tree whose roots are deeply rooted in the soil of the things of Christ. If you're rooted in the Word of God, then the words that you say are going to be the fruit of that fellowship. Please, take this seriously. Make a commitment to meet every day with your Lord. Listen to Him speak His Word to you so that you can reflect what you hear. Take the time to read. Take the time to meditate. Pray for the Spirit of God to fill your heart with His love. And then you see, when in the course of the day you're bumped into, and it'll happen, then venom won't pour out of your life, but the Word of God will pour out. There was a professing Christian working in the